You're on.
Good morning, everyone. You know, our Lord Jesus has promised that he had went away to make a place for those who love him. Now, Brother James, I don't know the name you have for that blessed place that he has prepared for us. I don't know what name you call it. But you know what? I call it, my friend, I call it home, please. Someday I'm going home, now somewhere beyond the grave. Oh, there's a land where my Jesus went to prepare by his own hand. And for the saved by grace, as good as they've been. But listen, I've got good news for you, that when heaven comes into view, one glimpse and you know the best is yet to come. Now, some call it heaven, oh, but I call it home. Now some call it dreaming, oh, now let me dream on. Some call it paradise, that's somewhere beyond the sky.
Jesus is up there preparing for us a place, and he's been taking over 2,000 years now, really close to it. Only took him 7 days to create the heavens and the earth. Yeah, we can't even imagine what that home is going to be that Brother Johnny was just singing about. Let's all turn to 398. Let's all stand, and if the ushers would come forward on the last verse.
Sunshine where darkness is rife.
Getting ready for our sermon on In the Beginning. And I know I didn't look up the scripture, but in the scripture it says God is the same in the beginning, amen, and now and forever. So I'm going to sing a Tracy Dart song. The music's over there. God of the mountain is the God in the valley, the God of the good days or the God in the bad. So, good old Tracy Dart. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I forget when they're going to be back around, but I'll have to get with Naomi and see. But I think he's got his operation, and I think he's back on the road again. So that'd be great.
see when you're up on the mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you are never
through a foot operation this past week, and the doctor told him to stay off of his feet for 3 weeks. He's laying on the couch this morning with his foot up, elevated above his heart and head, and we have a gentleman back here at the back. Leonard's going back into the hospital. He had an operation in September of last year that was so successful, he's going back for another one. He had a knee replacement, and it got to where he couldn't kneel down to pray, so he got tired of standing up to pray, so he got a new titanium knee, and they put that knee in there, and that fixed up that knee, but it's still hard to just kneel on one knee. So he knows what it's like. He knows what he's going in for, and he's going to do it again. And I don't know if they'll ever let him fly on an airplane again with two knees like that. Brother Abel? Yeah.
Anyway, he's in Las Vegas, and I'm getting ready to go back to dental school starting up again tomorrow. But he's got a pretty bad problem with his joints, and he's unable to move them on and everything. We've been praying for him and everyone. We think that we're hoping that when Dolores talks to him, that he's better, and instead of the swollen of his knees and
mine. Yeah.
They go up into his shoulders and then his arms and his fingers, and he can't figure out what it was or what it is. He's gone to the doctor before, and he's taking big needles in his joints, and he says they're full of fluid. They pull them out, and all they do is make him suffer an excruciating pain.
Ooh, I imagine.
There's nothing in there. They don't know what it is. They can't figure out what it is.
I don't say.
Just asking that you keep him in prayer.
We sure will.
He needs to have all his concentration on his dental studies rather than to be sitting there aching.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And Bob, you made a note of that there. Betsy put him on our prayer list there. But remember to pray for Abel. So when you say Abel, it's a double barrel shotgun. We pray for him, senior and junior. Amen. How's your hip doing? Right. Your name's already on our list, I think. Yeah. All right. Special prayer request there. Remember that. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. And this is interesting. I was just thinking that what you're going to hear from this pulpit today is going to be something you won't read in your daily newspaper. You won't find it in the books in your local library. You can't get it on any channel of your television set. You'll not hear it taught in any school or state college in this country. It'll not be discussed in any governmental bodies, local, state, or federal. And you won't hear it preached in a majority of the churches in the world today. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. You heard it here. You know, today the very existence of God is being challenged. But look at the power, the influence that just a handful of atheists and infidels and agnostics have in this country. You read this week how that out here at Julian, the Inspiration Point, they had three crosses that had been standing out there for years and years. Now, if you've got a pothole in your street that you want filled, you call City Hall and make a complaint. And maybe next year or two, they'll come out and take it down and fill it up. But if you've got a cross out there and an atheist doesn't want it there, the city fathers are going to be out there before sunup. And when the sun comes up in the east, it's going to be gone. Prayer is banned. One woman responsible for that. Crosses are being removed. The Ten Commandments are banned. The Bible is not allowed in public places. And yet this Bible is the only book in the world that declares with any certainty and any authority who we are, where we came from, why we are here, and where we are going. This is the only book that answers the questions, is there a God? Has he spoken? What does he say? Now, according to these holy scriptures, some 6,000 years ago, God, in his own sovereign wisdom, decided to create this world. And he did. Simply by speaking it into existence. He made it out of nothing. And he upholds it by the word of his power. He also created everything that's on the earth in the same way. Plants, animals, as well as mankind. Look up into the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created them all, spoke them into existence. God said, "Let there be," and there was. You don't read that in the paper. And when he had finished, he saw that it was very good. Then he created man. No, he didn't crawl out of the slime and climb up a tree and grow a tail and then lose it. The first human being was formed from the dust of the ground. That's the only thing that God created out of something that had prior existence. He made man in his own image, after his own likeness. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He came alive. God called him Adam. Then he took a rib from the side of man and made a woman. And he called her Eve. Look that up in your science books. See if you can find it. Adam sinned against God. And death came into the world because the wages of sin is death. All of us know death. Just yesterday, I think it was, Terry and Paula were at a memorial service for his mother. She lived 90 years. She died. Some people don't live 90 years, but everybody dies sooner or later. Because it's still here. It's an appointment that all of us must keep. Now, man continued on in this path of disobedience against God for the next 1,656 years. Finally, God got fed up with it. He said, "I'm not taking it anymore." His heart was grieved when he saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The whole earth was corrupt and filled with violence. People killing each other. All flesh had corrupted God's way upon the earth. So God determined to destroy them and the earth by a great flood of waters, which he did. Look that up in your science books. There was one man who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and grace is unmerited favor. The Bible says his name was Noah, and Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. At God's direction, Noah built an ark. when the flood came in 2319 BC, and I give you these dates so that you'll know that this was an actual fact, and it's not one of these nebulous once upon a time things. It's not a fairy tale. We've got date, time, and place. It rained 40 days, 40 nights. But Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives were safe, all eight souls, aboard the ark. They were spared. The flood waters covered the whole earth, where you and I are sitting right now. The water was 5.5 miles deep. Now, how do we know the exact measurement of it? God tells us in His Word. He says that the flood waters covered the whole earth until the tip of the highest mountain was 22.5 feet. He even got those 6 inches in there. 22.5 feet above the top of the tallest mountain. Now, 6 inches of water over all the earth, that's a lot of water. You couldn't put that in 6 barrels. They say that Mount Everest is 29,035 feet high. And if Mount Everest was covered over the top for 22.5 feet of water, that means that made the water 29,057.5 feet deep, and that's where you get your 5.5 miles. Over all the earth for 150 days. God was keeping track of it. All flesh died that moved upon the earth. Every living substance was destroyed. So God started over again with Noah and his family. The nations of the earth were divided by the families of the sons of Noah after that flood. But the same thing happened again. Man continued on in his rebellion and disobedience against Almighty God. They got together and said, "Let's build us a tower whose top will reach to the heavens." So they started working on it. God saw the futility of their efforts. He came down and confounded their languages. Up until that time, they all spoke the same language. They could understand one another. But when He confounded their languages, nobody could understand anyone else. So they left off building. And then God scattered them over the face of the whole earth. That was in 2208 BC, 2,208 years before Christ. In 1883 BC, God made a covenant with a Syrian by the name of Abraham. A Syrian. Abraham had become God's friend. God told him that He'd make of him a great nation. Called it Israel. And He did. But they too forsook God and quit worshiping Him as God and began to make unto themselves idols. And they became idolaters. Now understand this. God doesn't like sin. And God will not tolerate sin in any shape, form, or fashion in anybody. Now, He doesn't like murders and killings, robberies, lying, drunkenness, adulteries, things like that. But the one thing that really gets his goat is idolatry. He doesn't like that more than he doesn't like anything else. And he won't put up with it. He doesn't like for mankind to worship anything or anyone but him. He is a jealous God, and he tells us that. He has every right to be. He even gave a commandment, one of the ten. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now on occasion, God would raise up prophets that he would send out among his people, and they would say, thus saith the Lord, return unto me. They were warned of the consequences if they continued in their sin and rebellion. The prophets would urge them to return to the Lord, the only true and living God, but they didn't listen. They went right on. And they even went so far as to kill those prophets that God sent to them. Finally, in 5 BC, God himself took a body of flesh and became a man, a human being like you and me. God. He left his throne in heaven and he came down to this earth and dwelt among us. He dwelt among men whom he had created. And they killed him. They crucified him, nailed him to a cross outside Jerusalem, over in Israel. They buried his body in a tomb. But remember, he was God. He didn't stay dead. Look for this in your history books. Ask your teachers about it at school. He didn't stay dead. He came out of the grave on the third day and showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. And then after 40 days, he ascended back to heaven where he is now, this very moment. He ever lives to make intercession for us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. While he was here, he established the church. That's what we are. It's still going. And while he was here, he made it possible through his blood. That blood that was shed on that cross when he was crucified, he made it possible that everyone, that's whosoever, will believe that he is the Son of God and God the Son, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again from the dead for our justification. We shall be forgiven of our sins. We'll be saved, born again, redeemed, and we'll go to heaven to be with him when we die. Everybody has that opportunity. And he commissioned his church to go into all the world and tell every creature about it. All 7 billion of them. Yes. And that's what we're doing now. I don't know about you, but back in the summer of 1940, When I first heard what I'm telling you now, I was a 14-year-old boy. And I believed it when I heard it. And I accepted it. And I took Jesus as my personal Savior. And I have the internal witness of the Holy Spirit that I am a child of God. And I can open my Bible and read in hundreds of places in there verses of Scripture that give me the assurance that I'm saved. And I've had that for 71 years now. I'm not about to give it up. And I'll tell you something else. If Jesus Christ doesn't hurry up and come back to this earth, one of these days, I'm going to die. Did you know that? Yes. I'm going to die if Jesus doesn't come and rapture me out. Now, if and when that happens, I've already made arrangements to have my body buried out east of here at Glen Abbey Cemetery. I've got the place already bought and paid for out there. But I have a contract with God that when that time comes, my conscious soul will go to heaven to be with Him. My body will be there, but I'll be with Jesus. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then when Jesus does return, the trump of God will sound, and I will hear it in my grave, and I will rise from that grave in resurrection glory, in a glorified body like unto the one that Jesus had when He came out of the tomb yonder at Jerusalem. But that's not all. That's only the start. When Jesus comes, He's going to establish His kingdom on this earth, and He's going to rule as King of kings and Lord of lords for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. And I am going to rule and reign with Him as a king and priest during that 1,000-year millennium.
Amen.
I may have been preaching for 61 years already, but my ministry is just beginning. It's just in the embryonic stage right now. The best is yet to come. That's still not all. Years ago, near the end of the first century, that's AD, while on exile on the Isle of Patmos, the Apostle John, from the top of a high mountain, had a vision. And in that vision, he saw heaven open. And as heaven was open, descending from God out of heaven was a new city, a city of gold called the New Jerusalem. It had streets of gold. It had walls of jasper. It had gates of pearl. It had a foundation of precious stones. That's what Jesus was talking about that John recorded in John chapter 14 when Jesus said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's what he was talking about, the New Jerusalem. Now I challenge you to go home and search your Sunday paper. You won't find what I've told you this morning in the paper. You turn on your television set and you pick any channel you want to, but you won't find it there. You'll find some news about the flood in New York and Philadelphia and places like that, and about the heat wave, and about jihad and all of that stuff that's going on. Maybe even a political speech or something. But nobody on there is going to tell you what I've told you today. You listen to the presidential candidates. They won't tell you anything. They won't talk about it. But then you pick up your Bible and you brush the dust off of it and you read its precious promises, and there you will find the Word, the eternal Word of Almighty God, who tells us that these things are true. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your Word. We thank you for the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that these things are indeed of God. We thank you for the assurance that you give us of eternal life. And if there's one in this congregation today who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today the Holy Spirit will deal with their hearts and cause them to realize that without Christ, they're lost. They're sinners. And if they die in that condition, they'll go out into eternity away from God, never to see Him anymore. Father, speak to their hearts today. Show them Jesus. Show them Jesus on the cross. Let them see the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And let them know of a surety that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, can cleanse us from all of our sins and make us acceptable in your sight. So speak to hearts today. Draw us unto thyself. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
486.
Number 486. Sing a verse of invitation. Appreciate your coming this morning and being with us in our service. Hope you have a good afternoon. Come back again this evening at 6 o'clock for our evening service. On Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock, We have a Bible study. We're studying the life of David in the Old Testament. And no, not that David back there. He's newer than the Old Testament. He just looks old.
He's a grandfather.
I know he's a grandfather. Amen. David, dismiss our service in prayer, would you? God bless you. Amen.
And we pray, Lord, that there's someone here, Lord, that's still dealing with that issue, that, Lord, that they would be compelled to come, and they would not leave here today without speaking to someone, Lord, that can tell them how to get saved. We just thank you and praise you for all you've done for us, our Lord and Father. It's so good to know that we know where we came from, who we are, where we're going, dear Father. We're just so thankful that we have the Bible that we can look at and read and study, Lord, that tells us the truth and that gives us peace in our hearts and our minds. We just ask you to continue to bless our church, Lord. Bless the pastor, Lord, and with him. Lord, continue to help him preach your word and keep him healthy. Lord, we're so thankful for all the members here. Lord, just anyone that's sick, Lord, that you would just be with them, Lord. We especially pray for Abel, Lord, that you would help them to find out what's wrong with his joints, Lord. That you would just heal him, Lord. Help him to be able to use that as a testimony to you, Lord. And we just thank you, praise you, and ask you to bless the remainder of our day.
Piano or
That's the site guy.
That's why I don't like about these companies that make sure this is